Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If Brandon Bean was going to make a move to go forward a little bit, it would be just a little bit and not a huge jump. But
right.
There is some high-level talent that you look at, yeah. Especially at wide receiver.
Yes.
This is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast, presented by Connors and Ferris. Mike Catalana, I am Jenna Cottrell. Dan Fates with a veteran day off. He is on vacation, celebrating spring break.
Yeah.
A wild spring break, I'm sure, with the family.
Crazy. He's just going crazy. What did he tell us today? Bedtime is 7 o'clock? I think he texted
He did say that. So, yeah. He's enjoying his time off. We want to be sure to remind everyone, please like, comment, as well as subscribe. And share the Buffalo Plus Podcast if you enjoy our work.
I just got back from vacation. I was proudly wearing the Buffalo Plus hat on vacation.
You can see here.
Yes.
If you're watching.
And got a chance. This one guy was a Patriots fan. Mm. And he was like, oh, Bills, I don't know if I can talk to you. I'm like, dude, you had 2 decades. Is that enough? Is that enough?
That's
why?
Fair.
You didn't have it good long enough. But I talked to some Bills fans. So it was fun. Fun to be away, but happy to be back.
Did you get recognized?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go anywhere with Mike Catalano.
We were in the States, you know. Almost, you know. No, it was fun. It was fun to be away.
Oh,
a little
gosh.
A little grandbaby time.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So in fairness to that, my son-in-law is a Giants fan. I grew up as an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
We compromised. The babies are Bills fans.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They already have Buffalo Plus gear.
Oh, love. Yeah. That's true. We have, if you want to check out the Buffalo Plus store.
Yes.
We have, I hit the wrong button.
That's all right.
I'm directing today as well. So this is going to be an adventure for
us. I think
us
I have a bib. I have a little t-shirt.
Yes,
for them.
We have a bib. We have a baby shirt. You can find a whole bunch of gear on the Buffalo Plus store, buffaloplusstore.com. All right, let's get into it. That's enough of a vacation talk. But
granddad talk.
Yes, grandpop. So let's talk a little bit. It is April.
Yep.
The NFL draft is upcoming at the end of the month. And Bills right now with 11 picks. And we've talked so much about the first round, but we kind of wanted to go into some of the circumstances or situations that Brandon Bean could be in.
Yeah.
So we kind of set this up as if the Bills were to trade up a lot, if the Bills were to trade up a little, if the Bills were to stay put at pick number 28th overall, or if they were going to trade back.
Yeah. And we set up certain scenarios that are possible. It doesn't mean this is the exact deal you would make.
Yeah.
But I also want people to understand, we've seen it with Bean. He likes to move.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's moved up, and we know he's done that. There's a cost to doing that. Mm-hmm. And as long as you realistically look at the cost, because I've had people say to me, why don't they move up to 3 and take Marvin Harrison? Okay, I mean, you could give that a shot, but you're giving up a ton. You're
farm.
At 28. Yes. So there is formulas. Some of those have changed. Jimmy Johnson started it. And then it has evolved through the years where the formula is a little different now based on the value of the picks. But, you know, you want to move up a little. We've seen him do it. So we created some scenarios. And then to let you know where we think they would be. Some I like that I created and you created.
Yeah.
Some I don't think would be good for them in terms of
That's
saying,
fair.
What are you going to be? I think it's Bean's nature to be aggressive.
Oh, so it's very funny you bring that up, doing some research, and we've covered a lot of Bills drafts over the years. Bean has traded up 4 times in 5 drafts. Dalton Kincaid last year, Kaiir Elam the year before that, and then in 2018 for both Josh Allen as well as Tremaine Edmonds. So you talk about being aggressive, Mike. I think you're right. There has been the history of him going up and getting his guy. But of course, he has had times where he has made a trade and then didn't even have a first-round pick. That's Stephon Diggs' deal as well.
That's really interesting. You use those 2 years because in 2018, He had his mind on certain players. He knew he wanted to trade way up. He had already made previous moves before the draft to get close. Because if you're going to say, we want to go to number, in the case he went to get Josh at number seven, you can't say we're sitting at 28 and we're going to get to seven. I mean, you can, but how many teams at seven want to go back to 28? Like, what are you giving them?
Usually
it's a little different, unless a team had multiple picks and you were giving up future number ones and all those things, because they would want some value for this year. But that year, obviously, his number one priority was getting Josh Allen. He had his mindset on Tremaine Edmonds and got him. In these last couple, it's been, I think, more of saying, I really like this player. He might have been, in his mind, the last number one he had ranked, and he went up and got him, moved up a few spots, did not wait, because he's told us, Jenna, he rarely has that many first-round grades on players.
Yeah, I think that speaks to how they evaluate talent and how critical of an eye they have in terms of what they see from a guy and how they want to project that forward. But you're right. In the past, we've seen, I feel like in the Dalton Kincaid, in the Kyir Elam situation, jumping up a couple picks, not making this huge leap into the first round, especially with where the team's at. I mean, for a quarterback, you want to get your guy, the guy, and a lot of times to get a quarterback, it takes being in the top 10, in the top seven, all those things. So I think for where this Bills team is at, it makes sense that if Brandon Bean was going to make a move to go forward a little bit, it would be just a little bit and not a huge jump. But there is some high level talent that you look at, especially at wide receiver.
Yes.
That if the Bills were to get in a situation where a guy's kind of falling down the board.
How aggressive does he want to be?
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So there was a few of those scenarios.
Yeah.
You want to start with any of them?
No, you can start.
Well,
we're going to put on our Brandon Bean cap.
Okay. So the way I described him, I described two different ones to trade up. This is what I looked at. And I said one of them was a trade up that I think fits the Bean MO for the last few years. And, you know, I've read some things of, I think Daniel Jeremiah had the Cowboys taking a wide receiver in the first round. I don't know if they would. They lost some offensive linemen. Like, they've got some needs too. But Cowboys are at 24, Bills are at 28. So in that scenario, the Bills move up the four spots and they give up pick 128 that they have currently. And that's similar to what it's been. They've been, the picks they've given up, I think, have been like 130.
128, 133.
Right. So it's right in that mode of what teams are going to look for in order to move back a few spots. Now, I'm looking at that of saying, you know, could Thomas from LSU, the wide receiver.
Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas. Could he have dropped to that point where you're sitting there going, we want him? What we don't know, Jenna, is how high would they be willing to go up for a certain wide receiver, right? Because what I just gave that scenario, you're giving up 128, you got 11 picks in the draft, you have other picks around it. I mean, right now the Bills have 133, 144, 160, 163. They've got that window in the third round where they don't have any. Mm-hmm. So you look at that, that's kind of a problem because they've done well in the third round. But the question is, that's sitting there waiting till 23, 24. Would he be willing to wait that long?
I think I can't imagine being Brandon Bean, because I feel like it is so hard to wait things out when you see players coming off the board, and especially some of the talent at receiver, which we know the Bills need to address. That is something that I will be curious to see how patient Brandon Bean. You think he just sits on his hands? It's one of those, I mean, he obviously does it, but in terms of what he needs to do, my thing is, if you were going to get crazy, if you're going to look at this draft.
Okay.
The scenario that I was like, this is kind of interesting.
Right.
So the Bears right now, they have two picks. Obviously, they have the first overall, and then they have the ninth overall. They only have four picks in their entire draft right now. So that's not a lot of ammunition.
No.
So let's say they get Caleb Williams. And then they want to build around him, but they want to have the ability to add more players. We know Ryan Poles, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, there's a relationship already there.
Yeah.
What if the Bills were to trade the 28th overall pick, both of their first fourth round picks in 128, 133, plus a first rounder next year. Because
that's aggressive.
That is very, you're moving up to ninth overall, and you get the wide receiver out of Washington.
Adunze.
I struggle with the names in this class. But yes, speed, high volume targets, 6'3", contested catches, good separation. NFL mock is Larry Fitzgerald. I think you'd want to add a Larry Fitzgerald type.
That's aggressive. Trading your future number one is always risky.
Absolutely.
But the Bills, knock on for Micah, the Bills have been a team that's drafting somewhere in the 20s. Mm-hmm. So we're to 30. So it's valuable, but if you know you're making that deal, honestly, there's maybe more value in a two this year than a one next year because you get that player for another year and they have those needs. But in terms of that, that would be aggressive. That would be the kind of player that they would be sitting there saying, he's our third player on the board.
Game changing.
Yes.
Type. Yeah. The thought process behind it is, and again, this is a super aggressive move.
Right.
I don't expect this to be the case, but you could make a point of, and we've talked about Stephon Diggs. They could move on from him next season,
right.
After this season, I should say. You want a guy that has already had the experience, can kind of take over that number one role, be a player that instills fear in other teams. And with what is projected, that could definitely be a possibility. So that's why I say, again, aggressive, but there is the opportunity. If you see a guy that you really, really love, I think you are willing because the Bills, generally speaking, pick quite late in the first round.
And look, and then if you're Ryan Poles, you've got ammunition there. You're at 28 mm-hmm. to maybe make another move and either trade up or trade back. I don't think you'd trade that future number one if you got it. But that would be interesting because of their lack of overall picks. But boy, if somebody dangles a future one at you, you know, it's a trade asset and it's also could be very, very valuable to a team. Are the Bills willing to do that? That's a lot. It's a lot to give up for a player.
I think that goes, it's tough. It's like, what is your philosophy? Are the Bills one to two players away from getting over the hump? Or is it, hey, with the amount of talent on this team, we want to try and add as much as possible through having those later round draft picks as well.
So, yeah. It would be wild if they did that.
I don't, again, this is, we're talking about if they got really aggressive.
Right.
My expectation is they trade up a little bit, which could lead us to our next scenario.
Yeah. Now this one's a little more. So I talked about the Cowboys moving up four spots with Dallas. And listen, we're throwing these out there. Who knows what the Dallas Cowboys are thinking? Mm-hmm. They could be sitting there with wide receiver on their mind, top of their board.
Yeah.
They get Brian Thomas at 24. Like, I don't know if Brian Thomas is going to fall that far. Here's what we don't know. As much as I believe guys like Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper and all, they do a lot of studying. They talk to teams. They're not in the room. They don't know.
A callback.
Meaning like, we may think, well, the consensus is a good example is, you know, even the number one wide receiver. Like, there are people that have this guy, Odunze, above Marvin Harrison, right?
It's so subjective.
It is. And so when a team looks at them and they go, there's a player that might fall into the teens. I mean, look, Justin Jefferson, for whatever reason that year, dropped down to what? 20, 19, 20, whatever he ended up getting picked at.
Wild.
If you knew you were getting Justin Jefferson, you'd trade up to get him, right? Because he's a superstar. So it's easy to say, well, there's always another good player. There's not that many Justin Jeffersons floating around, but you don't know. So that's it. So the one other scenario I had, again, this is aggressive because this really impacts this year's draft. It is trading up to 16.
Oh.
And that's with the Seattle Seahawks. And in that case, the simple formula for the Bills, not great, but simple, is giving up their second round pick. Now, this one, I think, hurts in some ways almost worse than your scenario does because you don't have a third round pick. So now you get your receiver one, no second, no third.
Yeah.
I personally, I know this sounds odd, but this is why I say, I think I'd rather give up the future one than I would the two this year. If they had threes, if they would have gotten the three that they should have gotten in the comp pick scenario, things might have been different.
And but now you understand
it's a big window.
Why Bean was so upset about that.
Yeah.
Because that is a large gap.
Third round. Now, they just took Dorian Williams. Terrell Bernard, Spencer Brown. Your Mike linebacker, your right
Those
tackle.
Are bonafide starters.
Now, they
the
had
team.
Zach Moss, a good player. Dawson Knox, Devin Singletary, again, a good player. Harrison Phillips, who was a good rotational player. Not superstars, but you're talking about two of the last 3 years, they've gotten their starting right tackle and starting middle linebacker. That I think you'd be pretty happy with those picks. And it's no guarantee in the third round, but you can get quality players. Honestly, that my scenario that I just laid out does worry me more than the future one, because I think they need the youth and they need the players. They need a combination of quality and quantity this year because they've lost some players. Yeah. So
sometimes I feel too, when you trade away future picks, like when I do something and I'm like, oh, that's a future Jenna problem. You're like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Sometimes it's a little easier to just put it in the future and say, you know what? Next year's one. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Douglas and the Jets just got Hassan Reddick. They gave up a three that could be a two years down the road. His job's on the line.
Absolutely.
That could be not just a future Joe Douglas problem, a future Jets general manager problem.
Yes.
Right? So Brandon Bean's in a spot where he's not worried, I don't think. He's worried about his immediate future. So it would be a future Brandon Bean problem in all likelihood. But I think, honestly, for the right player, again, you got to really love the player. And I don't know if, even as good as these wide receivers are, if there's anybody to be willing to do that for. But that might be the case.
Yeah. So for my trade up a little.
Yeah.
I have a trade with the Eagles.
Oh, to 22. Okay.
To get to 22. These names I'm bad at. For the UCLA edge rusher.
Oh, yeah.
Liatu Latu.
Yep. You got it.
NFL mock of TJ Watt. So trade the Bills' fourth round pick at 133 plus a fifth round pick at 163. Sorry, the numbers.
Yeah.
And then that to move up the six spots.
I think Howie Roseman could very well be in the market to move back. But I do think, you know, they just traded Reddick, so they may be in the mindset of getting a pass rusher. But it may not be the guy they have their eyes on. Like, you just don't know.
The reason I think he could be passed up on is there was neck injury concerns and all that stuff. And that sometimes the medicals will scare people off.
I believe he, quote, medically retired from football, got a second opinion, came back and played really well.
It's insane.
Yeah. So some teams that's going to scare, other teams are going to be ready to jump. And, you know, they could very well be in the market for a pass rusher.
So I have another trade scenario.
Look at you. Go ahead.
If they were to trade up a little with Green Bay, that's to get to 25th defensive tackle, Byron Murphy out of Texas. Motor, power, strength.
Impressive guy. We listened to him at the combine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NFL mock at Oliver.
Yes.
Trade the fourth round pick, 128 of the Bills to go up the four spots.
Yeah.
So just a little, I know a lot of fans don't want to see defense in round one. And I get it though.
But Jenna, some of this, hey, listen, if Brandon, and if you're watching, and we know he watches, if we could just get a peek at the big board.
I would love to do that.
I don't need much time.
I'll make cookies.
One quick snapshot.
I'll bring in wheat thins for
Sean. Yeah, Raisin Bran.
Yeah.
But you don't know. And so you say to yourself, like, we don't know what they think, where they have a player ranked. Like, for all we know about these wide receivers, they may love Ladd McConkey, love him, and think they can sit at 28 and get him, or be ready to jump one or two, three spots, give up one of those picks, and be ready. They may not think he's the one or two wide receiver, but they may see, we don't see the difference that we're going to make. By the way, and that also really does take two. So I will tell you this. I know teams have preliminary discussions with other teams. Hey, usually it's in relative close proximity, but say you wanted to talk to the Bears, you might say, if we're in this scenario, would you be willing to do this? What would it take? So Brandon Bean doesn't just all of a sudden call up Ryan Poles and go, hey, Ryan, how's it going? While the clock's going.
How's Canandaigua?
Right. And then say, how about if we do this? Like, I do believe in many of these cases, there has been a preliminary discussion and then they're waiting and then they jump in. And because he may say, no way we're doing that for nine. Like, it's going to cost you more than that. It's too far for us to go back. Basically, I mean, unless you're going to give us your one and two next year, we're not doing it. I have no idea what he would tell him, but there's that there. So, and then I think he and Howie Roseman, or he and even with the Jets and the Dolphins, I think they have conversations about draft picks and about Absolutely. Moving up and moving down. So I think a little bit of that. So
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Again, this is all about doing your due diligence, and that it's not only is with your draft picks and scouting and all that stuff, but it's also with the pulse around the league of, okay, what is this person saying it's going to take to get here? What is this person? We expect these to be the needs of a certain team. Are they going to go after a player that we have our eyes on? These are all, this is Brandon Bean's season.
Right.
But you think of all the things, you know, there's a lot that goes into Sean McDermott's job, but I think for Brandon Bean, this is when, with the salary cap, with free agency, with the draft, with scouting, with having a pulse on what else is going on in the league, this is make or break for, and not, I don't think his job is on the line, obviously, but talking about the stress that is this job and how fluid a lot of things are.
Yeah. And he made substantial moves this offseason. He's got holes to fill, both short-term and long-term for the roster. So while you always want to be aggressive, and he does have 11 picks, the one thing I was thinking of, though, 28 is not the sweet spot of the draft. It is in one way. That pick is tradable to teams, usually from the other side, trying to get back in. And, well, we could discuss the scenario. I said one scenario is he just stays at 28.
Yeah, let's do it. Because I do see that. And I do see the possibility of him trading back as well. It's hard, though, because it's really dependent on where guys are falling. Is there a run on wide receivers?
Or is Chop Robinson dropped from Penn State?
Absolutely. There are players that could be really big.
And
if
they
the
may.
To get.
There's players. You mentioned Latu from UCLA. He might be off their board.
Yeah.
You don't know what their medical people are telling them. So that's what you don't know. But in terms of Mitchell.
AD. Let's just call him AD.
Yes.
I'm so bad with names. I really struggle. It's bad.
Yeah.
No one says my last name right, so it's fine.
But in terms of sitting there at 28, the reason I bring that up is, you know who wants to be at 28, 29, 30 sometimes is a team trying to trade back in to take a quarterback late in the round and get the option, the fifth-year option. Now, maybe the way it's gone for some of these quarterbacks, you don't want the fifth-year option. But that was where, when I say that staying at 28, you know, this would be where Bean is sitting there going, I'm at 28. Cowboys are picking at 24. I don't want to make a move because I still have four of my guys on the board. And I know I'm getting one of them.
Yeah.
Or I'm pretty convinced. The one thing you can't get fooled about is, you think nobody in front of you is going to take the guy, and then they make a trade.
I always wonder how much, when Brandon Bean is reaching out to other GMs,
yeah,
is it a smokescreen? Is it, hey, we're looking this way, and you kind of can pull, I mean, you can, or do you have the intent of, we're going to do something around this spot, and then you say, you know, another GM is like, oh, we have a move that we need to make, and we see the opportunity to do it. That's why I'm saying, like, everything that's in play, it is wild to kind of watch things unfold.
So I asked Bean one time, I said, when you make that trade and you move up, are you obligated
to tell
the team who you're going to pick. And now I know that sounds funny, but like, well, he's like, he can ask me. I ain't telling him. I have no reason to tell them. You trade me the pick. It's my guy. Now, could there be a scenario where they feel you out a little bit because they're going to move back two spots and say they want to take an offensive tackle and you may give a little bit of a hint as to what you want to do? Maybe. But that's what's interesting if there's only moving back a few spots, because I didn't know whether there's sort of a unwritten code that says, I'm taking a wide receiver. I'm taking whatever. He said, no. You're going to trade it for me. You're going to get what you can. I'm going to take who I want.
A little gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Right. The reason I say that is because you wonder if a team moving back two or three spots, a really interesting one is a team moving back one spot in the draft. You know, and that's happened because they'll say multiple teams have been trying to get to our spot. You want to, you know, say the Bears were doing that now. Do you want to trade up one spot and get the guy? So 28 is interesting because I think that is the least likely scenario.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
I just don't think he's going to be sitting there at 28 and not be itching to move up.
I remember last year when he talked about before they had the Dalton Kincaid pick, which they did go up a couple spots to get him, where Bean had talked in the pre-draft press conference about, you know, essentially keep your expectations low with what we do, or we're planning, we're expecting to just kind of hang back. And then obviously he went up, and jumped up a couple spots to do it. I agree with you though. 28 is, you see all the value you could get if you were to trade out and have, and they talk, we've heard so much about how, you know, deep this wide receiver class is. And I think when you look at the Bills' needs, there's the possibility of them waiting a little bit later, getting more ammunition, and then having more opportunity at even more players. Or if they see their guy on the board being like, all right, this is the guy that we want. We are committed to this. We're willing to put up this much in draft stock and capital, and we expect it to work out. So it really is fascinating.
Well, the reason I say that them not is sitting there is because I don't see him sitting there with that many players, unless no one wants to deal.
That's another possibility too.
And he's sitting there going, like I said, it would need to be that circumstance, because the move I have them moving back doesn't move them back that far, but it moves back to a team, the Arizona Cardinals. And
that's 35.
35. And I have them moving back, and then the Bills would get, I have them getting 104 and 162. So that puts them in the early fourth round and then 162. So in that scenario, the Bills would then have 104, 128, 133, and 162. Then I think you could use a couple of those picks to move up into the third round, because that's what happens sometimes too. Mm-hmm. I just find that hole between 60 and 128 to be massive for this draft for them. Huge amount of picks in the way that they're not going to be in. Right now, they're not in. That's why, like you said, he was so ticked they didn't get that third round pick.
Yeah. I mean, that was massive to what they were expecting, probably what they were building their draft plan around.
Right.
So it's funny, I have them trading to the 36th spot, trading with the Commanders. So I have trade 28th to get to the 36th, add Commanders pick 100.
So that's right at the end of the third round.
Yeah, so it would get them back into the third round, and something that, they don't have that currently. And you listed those players, Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, Spencer Brown, players that, well, at least Bernard and Brown.
And Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox.
Look, Devin Singletary was your starting back for 4 years. I mean, it's not like we're talking about guys. Every one of these guys, every one of them up until Dorian Williams, who was just a rookie, has been a regular player starter for this team. And they got him in the third round. So that's an interesting scenario. In the one that I did was the pick earlier, but they picked up an additional pick. He knows what he can get and the value he can get to move up. But I think that's the point. That's the thing that might hold him back from trading up, is I think he does realize, if I can get the player I want at 28 and I don't have to make a move, I can use some of these other picks to get back into the third round.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I had them picking Keon Coleman.
Yeah, he's FSU. Good. He's a talented good. Player.
Yeah, he is.
And big, you can get strong,
a,
fast.
I was going to say, yep. You can get a guy that would be an asset to your offense, and you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, you would have the capital to go back in the third round. Very interesting stuff.
I have them trading a little farther down. I will tell you this. I don't like this scenario. So I'll say Dan came up with it because I don't fair. Like it. This would not be Dan because this is trading farther down. This is trading with the Colts, and the Bills would get pick 46. Now, that's too far down, I think, for them to go that far yeah. down. But they would also get pick 82 and 117. So now you would be looking at having 46, 60, 46, 60, 182, and 117. That is the sweet spot for good players in this draft. But when you wait till 46, that's too. I think that's too long. I think that's too far to go back.
I don't think Bean can wait that long.
No.
He'd be chomping at the bit.
I mean, he did wait that long when he took AJ Epinesa.
But that was different.
They were already there, and he had already given up the one.
Yeah.
And they liked AJ, and they took him in the second round.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't believe they moved up. They didn't move up for AJ, did they? I think they stayed where they were. I should know that.
So. I think he was, what, pick 54?
Yeah.
Maybe. Let me look it up. Yeah, no, I hear you. I agree. I think that would be kind of out of
the realm
of what they would want
to
do.
We are all focused on the first pick. We are all focused on the wide receiver. I know they could pick a defensive tackle. I know they could pick a defensive end. There's a need for both of those players. There's always a chance. At 46, you get a great player. There's probably a better chance you get a great player at 26 or 16 or whatever. Better chance. There's more players out there. Doesn't mean you always pick the right one. But I don't see in this time, I do not think, as we discussed, I do not think the signing of Curtis Samuel, which we agree was a good signing, changes their thinking. You mentioned at the beginning, short or long term on wide receiver. They want a stud receiver. They want a guy that can be that guy now and eventually be the guy. That's what they want.
Dan and I talked about in the last podcast how versatile is great. Versatile is helpful, but Dan wants someone that essentially is, like you talked about, the guy that has an outstanding skill set that makes defenses fear them.
Yeah.
It's great to have versatility, but you want or burner speed, or you want a big body, or you want a guy that's an excellent route runner, all these things. Not saying you can't, you know what I mean? Yeah. You want a guy and that also has like one thing that he's just elite at.
Yeah.
Well, if not more than one, but
yeah. And we'll figure it out at that time, but I'll put it to you this way. There are so many wide receivers at the moment. There's about 15 of them plus that are being mocked into the first round. So like whoever they pick, even if it's in the second round, you're going to be able to find a mock draft that had that guy in the first round.
Yeah. That's
I mean, it really is.
Yeah. That's very
fair. But again,
fair.
Teams have different needs, different style of player that they want, and teams make mistakes too. So, I mean, again, somebody might take Ladd McConkey 16th.
Yeah. I think that's the one of the funny things too, is because there are so many, there's so many different directions teams can go in, that is why I do see Bean. I see a lot of him trading out, because I think you can get a lot of value later on.
Trading out or staying put trading back a little bit.
It's they so like, bad.
That Javon Baker.
Yeah.
UCF. I know our friend Chris Trapasso, I think I was reading it, he really likes him.
Yeah.
But there are guys like that show those skill sets that people like. Is it enough to bank the draft? Hey, Bean joked about it on, who was it? Whose podcast was he on where he said, I'm going to take wide receiver in every pick?
Oh, I didn't see
that. I think that was maybe with McAfee.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I'm just taking a wide receiver with every pick. But there's nothing stopping him from taking two in this draft.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
Selfishly, just thinking about it from our standpoint, I do hope that he is in the first round, because it makes our job.
Yeah. Brandon,
It makes our job easier.
Better and easier.
Yeah, like trade up to ninth. Do it. Do it. You won't.
Yeah, trade up to ninth would be great.
Because we'll know.
We'll know that night.
But before the 11 o'clock news starts, who you picked.
28 is a little late for us.
Yeah. You know, if you could figure it out.
Yeah. In the teens. Get in the teens. Ooh. Maybe somebody will just give you a pick. He's a nice guy, Bean. Give him a few strokes on the golf course next year.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked.
He probably wouldn't, as competitive as he is in golf. It's like, I don't care if they're, you know, giving me the pick for the cheap side. I'm not giving up any strokes on the golf course. So.
You're still going wide receiver, though. Correct? I don't want to assume.
Yes. But keep in mind, the scenario we laid out, there's a run on receivers. Bean either can't or doesn't want to trade up. Feels like the next group is laid out there. But maybe one of those DNs, maybe a D tackle drops and he jumps on that and then maybe moves up in the second round to get away. I mean, again, it's cheaper to move up in the second round of than course. The first, but it's still going to cost you.
And he does have 11 picks to right. work with. You can package things up. That's a lot of capital. That's a lot
but there
of
is
flexibility.
A cost. There is a cost yes, to moving up.
There is. That is very true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Dan texting
Dan is
us.
Texting us.
Yeah, you're off today, Dan.
Settle down.
Yeah.
You can't take the, can't take the, what is it? You can't take the.
Can't take the Dan out of Dan.
That's why we love him.
Hey, before we go, I wanted to mention Vontae Davis.
Yeah, that's.
The news came out on Monday that
we're
he had passed away.
On yeah. Monday,
and I know there's always been the jokes with Vontae because of the way he left the Bills. And let's be honest, it was at the time kind of funny that he quit during the game. And there's the funny video, Trey White and LeSean McCoy talking about it. And look, I just want, when I see a young person like that passes away at this time, we don't know in the circumstances. They were saying that there was no foul play. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who was in the league for a decade. Yeah. And didn't he do a commercial joking about it?
I believe so.
I think
so.
He did.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, at that time, like he just realized like, I'm done. I don't want to play. It was odd circumstances that the way he left, but in the big picture, that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
This guy should be remembered. First of all, for the people that really know him as a person, as a football player, pretty good football player. Definitely. For a decade. And it's just, his time with the Bills was very limited. Actually, doing fine then. He just decided that he was done. But it's really sad when you see somebody that age and whatever the circumstances are passing away.
35 years old.
Yeah.
It's very young.
Yeah.
That is, so, it's very sad. I've seen a lot of Bills fans, you know, giving their proper.
Yeah. I mean, this is
situation.
At that time, it's like, it's a little weird for fans and everybody was picking on the Bills and saying this is how bad they were
and
all that.
When he, yeah.
Yeah. And now, obviously, none of that matters. I just wanted to mention it because he is a guy connected with the Bills during that period of time.
Yeah.
And it's a tragic thing no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's wrap up here.
Yep.
We appreciate everyone watching. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share the podcast.
Also on our audio podcast every Tuesday morning. So if you're getting this on the audio pod, it'll be ready on for Tuesday mornings.
Yeah. If you don't know about the audio podcast, just check out wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. You can find it all there. Just look up Buffalo Plus. Thank you all for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We'll have plenty more podcasts coming out as we lead into the NFL draft, which is now a couple of weeks away.
Yeah. Three plus weeks, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be fast. Yeah. We're going to keep giving you draft content, getting you ready. And, hopefully this helped. We want you to comment on what you think. Up, down, what's too much, what's not enough.
What do you expect from Brandon Bean in the first, you know, round or two of this draft? So, and if there's a specific player that you love, let us know.
And if you've gotten a look at the Bills big board, let us know. Yeah.
Seriously, we would love to.
Yeah, you can.
We're not in the building.
Yeah, we're not in the building.
All right, for Mike Catalana, I am Jenna Cottrell. Dan Fates with a veteran day off, but we, again, are grateful for you watching. Thank you again. We'll catch you next time here on the Buffalo Plus channel presented by Connors and Ferris.
is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.